Who was that masked voice?
That was Scott.
Recording stopped.
Anyone that's on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, we're leaving.
We are leaving. You. Bye-bye. Have a good evening.
Bye-bye. We're still on Discord and we're still on
We are on Discord and Pride48.com, yeah. But we're leaving. We do things that we don't want on video, you know, on the after show. And you can find out all about that if you join level 13. Good night.
I need to tinkle.
Okay. You can also stop. Did you stop recording the Zoom?
Yeah, I did. That's why she said recording stop.
Yeah, I don't. Who knows? I feel like he's really like, you know, concerned about the whole walking thing and the number of steps. That was like, how could getting more steps be a bad thing? You know, like as I'm getting older, I got to think of any ways I can to keep active. So if walking, and if I want my target to be 10,000, why is that bad? Like, I don't understand. And he's very passionate about it. Like, I don't know. You should only walk 8,700 steps maximum. You're no more. Tomorrow we have a busy morning because I have to, I got to do my workout, my Peloton workout in the morning before I weigh myself so that I can take that opportunity to burn as many calories as possible. But also Mark was nice enough to book a car mechanic appointment or whatever at the dealership for me to get my 120,000 mile, because he's taking his car in tomorrow for something. And he knows that I always procrastinate and forget and whatever. And he said, hey, we could just go together. And he booked it for me. So we're driving up there because the two dealerships are right next to each other. So I'm going to get whatever they recommend for 120,000 miles. And then, the vinyl or whatever is coming off of the cover of my middle console in my car. So I want to see if they can replace that. It'll probably be an arm and a leg to do it, but I don't even know if that's something you could get aftermarket. So I feel like it might be something you have to do at the dealership anyway. I suppose you could. There are probably websites, but I don't even know what I would call that thing. So I'm going to ask them. They'll be like, oh, it'll be $3,500 to replace that. And I probably will just say the cover of the middle console in my car. The vinyl is peeling off of it.
Yeah.
Or has peeled off of it. And I want to replace that cover.
Okay.
And I said, I'm going to the dealership tomorrow. So I'm going to ask them how much it would be. But everything at the dealership is really expensive. But I feel like that part is one that you probably are going to be stuck getting it from the dealership. Because there's not like there's going to be an aftermarket, you know, middle console cover.
There may be. It's a fairly popular car. So this is the 350Z?
370Z.
Yeah. I mean, that's a popular car.
So anyway, I'm going to ask them. I don't know. If it's too much, I might do some further research. But if it's reasonable, then I'll just be like, okay, yeah, go ahead. And they're also close to my office. So I'm sure they'll have to order it. So I'll probably be like, well, I'll bring it back in on a day when I'm going into the office or whatever.
I have to go to our other house tomorrow, which annoys me to no end. It's like, we just moved here and I don't want to go back to the old place.
What do you have to do? You've already, everything's moved out and it's been cleaned and like all of that.
We have to go back and rake the leaves, because the HOA has sent us a nasty gram about our leaves because there's an oak tree that shed in our yard. So, and the yard is kind of needs to be mowed. So we're taking the stuff, you know, to do the leaves and to mow the yard and do that.
If you didn't want to go, why didn't you just pay a landscaping company to go once a week until you sell it? They're not that expensive.
For leaves? Yeah, I mean, but the leaves thing, yeah. And actually they are. It's like, they're like $100 a week.
Did you turn on your heater?
Yeah.
It's fine.
They're like $100 a week to do.
No, I don't. You can leave it on.
Oh no, Adam. Oh no.
It's fine.
Oh no.
I don't mind the noise. I was more tickled that you are turned on the heater at your feet when, you know, it's practically summer. And
what do you mean it's practically summer?
And you live in Florida. It's always 80 degrees there. So
it is not. It is currently 67 degrees outside.
Oh, ooh, burr.
We're going to have some.
Put on your parka or your ski jacket.
It's going to rain in the early part of the day today. And then, what do we got?
It rained today here, 60. But it was this morning. I wonder if the rain that you're getting tomorrow is coming from here. I don't know. Probably not. Rain, like weather patterns always seem to go angle north.
Yeah.
Or generally, I you know what? I can be completely wrong about that. But I feel like most weather patterns that I see are like mostly going north. I don't normally see something that started in Arkansas and then is like goes down south to Florida. It probably has something to do with like, you know, the path of totality also goes from south to north. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on how you're looking at it, but what are you listening to?
Don't know why I'm not connected. Hold on. I found that YouTube. I mean, I found that TikTok. From producer Patrick.
The entertainment industry is seriously broken. I asked a few of my friends and colleagues to describe what they're going through, and I think you should take a listen.
My name is Matt Hoban. I'm a former executive producer. So many of my mentors and my friends and collaborators are working less to the point where they're not working at all. We're just people trying to make a living, and it's getting really hard to do that.
I'm Jen. I am a former editor. I am definitely financially struggling. You may lose my house and it's really scary. So
it's like, I just feel like it's a lot of people that live in California saying there's not as much work in California. And that's one of those things that the COVID did, right? Is like people continued to make entertainment things during COVID and they found that they could work from home. And a lot of people who lived in New York and California, places that are very expensive to live, during the first, you know, year or so into COVID, moved to cheaper places, right? They moved to Nebraska, they moved inland, you know, it was like where they could live in a much bigger house and a much, you know, for a lot less money, and live, you know, make the same money that they were making before, and that money would go a lot further in a place that wasn't as expensive to live as California or New York.
But what are they saying that the problem is?
That's because, just it. Well, they're not. They're like, not. They're just
is
saying
there
we
something
can't
causing
work.
The loss of work, or like what are they saying there's some solution to
No, that's what I'm saying.
Loss
yeah.
of work,
no, they offer
or?
Yeah, he offers zero solutions. He offers zero idea as to what is just the entertainment system is seriously broken. And it's just like because you guys live in an area that's being outsourced. It's like, that's welcome to capitalism. I'm not a fan of it, but I can't really change, you know, our economic system. But it's like, I don't think that entertainment is getting less. I feel like people are still doing the amount of editing. And I feel like technology has a huge role in this. And it wasn't sudden. Like it's been a slow trickle out to the point that now you can edit a show with one person instead of, you know, a team of five people or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like There's just, it's way easier. The technology makes it easy to bring up the pieces that you need to edit, and you can go, oh, I just want to do this. And, you know, so it's like as computers get faster and the software gets more intuitive, it makes their job that much easier to do. And so it's not like there's not editors that are working out there. It's just that there's not as many editors as there were working out there. And I feel like, you know, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, I'm like, then don't live there.
Or, I mean, I feel, this may be an unpopular thing to say. So any level 13 people that hear this, if it's unpopular, I'm sorry. But
oh boy.
But, you know, I feel like I made a decision when I was in college to not continue trumpet as my career.
Yeah.
Because I didn't think I would make a good living doing that. So yeah. I feel like when you pick those creative jobs, it is harder to make a living at them than some other types of jobs that you could have. So, you know, I'm not saying you don't deserve it, but I'm just saying part of it is you chose to do something that might be harder to make money.
I feel like, but this is happening in every industry. So this is not, you know, it's they're late to the game, but yeah, it's sad and it's bad, but this has been happening in every industry. This has been happening in business. This has been happening in, you know, in finance. This has been happening in banking. This has been happening. It's just, as technology progresses and as things get easier to do, it takes less people to do them, and you don't need as many people to manage that. You know, if you're reducing your workforce by like 10%, well, you don't need as many managers, right? So it's
we podcast for free because we know we're not ever going to make a living at it.
Right. I mean, like, but that's the other thing is like you live in a time where you can make a very professional looking product with very minimal amounts of money. It's like there are people that do YouTube videos that are very high, you know, very high quality and look very, and they're not using millions of dollars of equipment, right? They're getting by on, you know, thousands of dollars of equipment. So it's like the overall approach to, you know, the entry has drastically come down. So.
Yeah. Anyway. Well, I mean, I feel bad for anyone that's not able to find
a job. Exactly.
I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm just saying,
I just feel like this is, he's the way they're presenting it is like it's a brand new thing. And I'm just like, this is what
happens. Hasn't it always been hard to get a job in that industry though? I mean, you have to be, I mean, maybe I'm just thinking about movie stars, you know, you always hear of the starving artist and people like having to wait tables on the side and all that kind of stuff. But has it not been that way for the like writers, editors, like those type of people? Is it easier for them to get work in the past or something? Because I feel like it's always been a thing that
they have agents and they get paid a living wage, right? It's like writers do well. It's always been a closed system and difficult, says Andy Scott, who's the only person we know that's actually in the entertainment industry. Yeah. Like I said, I
Scott is at a different caliber. Like he's like, he is so popular.
He's the man.
He's like turning down projects because he's like, look, guys, I live in my palatial estate. I am relaxing and chillaxing now.
Are you trying to get uninvited from dinner?
No, I'm not. I'm not. This is not a bad thing. I'm not bad mouthing him. He's agreeing with me in the chat room. It's not sarcastic. I'm sure he gets calls.
Have you watched this?
He has a velvet voice, Daniel.
Mel Torme, The Velvet Fog.
He's getting one right now. Right at this moment at like 9:41 p.m. Wow, they're calling you late.
Yeah, from Gary.
Oh, from Gary. Now, Auntie Scott storms out of the chat room, the last standing chat room person.
Who knew that Auntie Scott would still be here? Have you watched this show, The Curse?
I don't think we watch a lot of TV, but I don't and I don't always know the exact name of things, but I don't think so.
No,
I have not seen it.
What is it, Showtime? Or
it looks like it's Showtime, yeah.
So Showtime, because we have Paramount Plus with Showtime. So, and this was, I started watching it the weekend that Zach was gone because it was suggested that I watch it. And I was sort of, it is the most confusing and stupid series that I've ever seen.
Is Zach sneezing?
Yes.
Okay. You know what? If there was ever a murder in your like a murderer in your house, mm-hmm. I would hear him before he came up to you. I'd be like, Daniel, I think someone with a knife is walking through the door. You might want to get under the desk. Anyway, keep going. What about this show?
It's just so bad, and it's gotten so many accolades, like so many pieces written about how inventive it is and how the and I'm watching it and I'm like, I just don't see what it's just a bad show. It's like, it's one of those things when you were in English in school and they would do the literary analysis of story, like we're going to read Catch 22 as a class, we're going to read it and then we're going to, and so what do you think he meant when he said blah, blah, blah? And then people would give these really deep meanings to this literature and stuff. So these pieces that are written about this show are talking about, how delightfully awkward it was with these pauses and, the tension between the actors plays off as, blah, blah. And I'm like, it's just bad. It's just, you guys are making up shit here. It's just bad. And I stopped watching it because I finally went to the internet and said, well, what did other people say really about this show?
Well, it has 94% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I do not get it, but it's like one article jumped out at me. It's like going like, yeah, the curse was great up until the ending ruined it all. And it was just like, I was like, oh, so even if I wanted to keep watching it, the ending is going to suck. So it's like, I don't want to finish watching it. It's such a weird show and I don't get how it could have a 94%.
Lost? I don't get what...
Andy Scott is not a fan of Lost. He feels like it was a horrible show.
Oh, okay.
I famously have said that Lost is possibly the best television show ever.
I enjoyed
ever
it, but
made.
I didn't finish it, so don't spoil it for me.
And the ending did not ruin it all. The ending was great. Buckaroo Banzai sucked. All right, I'm willing to admit that when I had Auntie Scott rewatch or watch for the first time Buckaroo Banzai on This Star in Elvis, I also rewatched it because I had not seen it in 20 years. And as I'm watching it, I'm like, oh my God, this is so bad. This is such a horrible...
I don't even know
horrible...
what Buckaroo Banzai is.
And consider yourself lucky, Adam. Although there is a really great scene with a piccolo trumpet. Buckaroo Banzai is playing a piccolo trumpet and then... a gunshot goes off and he...
Is it a cartoon?
No. No, sadly, it's a live action
film. It sounds
film.
Like a Buckaroo Banzai sounds like a cartoon. Like,
yeah.
But we've had this discussion where I will go back and try to watch cartoons that I enjoyed when I was younger, like Thundercats. And I cannot get through them. He-Man is another example. I was like, oh, He-Man's available streaming now. And I tried to watch an episode. I could not get through it.
I can't get
is Adam, by the way.
I know.
He-Man's
Prince
name.
Adam, yeah. I can't get through Star Trek, the original series. I try.
I used to watch that with my dad. That's the reason it has good memories, because my dad week.
Oh, I have good memories of the show from my childhood, but when I try to watch it now compared to modern tech and modern Trek, I get maybe 10 or 15 minutes into it. And I'm like, I can't do it anymore.
The sets were like crumpled cardboard.
They were.
That they painted, with whatever. But I mean, it was good for the time. But, I will say, I kind of get annoyed by CGI.
Yeah.
Because there are so many times, especially in TV shows, that I can tell mm-hmm. that they're like standing on a basically a green screen, you know, or whatever. And it pulls me out of it. I'm like, can you? Okay. I was watching Bones. I think I mentioned this.
You did.
I was watching Bones. They're on a park bench and they have completely green screened the entire like park behind them. And I'm like, do parks not exist in Los Angeles? Like, why? You couldn't just go out to a park bench with actual trees. You had to do that in a studio and then put it, because it looked, granted, you know, now they've probably upscaled it in the resolution, because back when it came out.
Yeah, you can control, you know, the Auntie Scott says in the chat room, the control you get in the studio. You can control the lighting exactly. You control the wind. You can control the sound. You can control so many things. Makes it, it's like, if I, all right, let's think about it this way. Think about it from a standpoint of, it cost money to shoot. Like, each hour cost, let's say, you know, $10,000. So each hour is going to cost $10,000. In a studio, I am fairly confident I can sit my two actors down and I've got the light set, I've got the wind set, I got the sound set, and I'm pretty sure I can bust through their stuff in an hour. Whereas if I go outside to the lot, like, yes, of course they have big lots out there where they have facsimiles of parks or whatever.
I'm pretty sure Gilmore Girls, all the outdoor scenes in Gilmore Girls are in like a lot, but it's built like a street.
Right.
Like in a town square.
Right. But all right. But then out, they could go out to one of these fake parks and they could sit their actors down, and maybe they're lucky with the sun and there's not clouds and whatever. And so the, you know, the lighting's great for the whole thing or everything. But who, the wind can kick up. There can be airplanes that are flying overhead. There can be things like, and now that hour that could have been done in the studio is only going to take, you know, it's going to take 2 hours, which means you're costing another $10,000 to the production. So that's probably a lot of what it is, right?
Anyway, they need to get to the point, and maybe one day we will, but even these magical like LED wraparound screens that they have now, and they're doing like Star Trek and some of the other ones on those screens.
Yeah.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Oh, they use it on Star Trek Discovery.
You can tell. There are a lot of times where you can tell that that is like a screen behind them, that they don't, you know, it's the same to me as a green screen. Like, we got to figure out the technology to make it look real.
I feel like that's happening. I mean, that's happening right in front of our eyes, right? You see these AI attempts at video and you can still tell that it's AI generated, but a lot of it's really good. It's like, compared to where it was a year ago, it's like a lot of the video that is, you know, creating right now is great. And I feel like the things that you see that tip you off to the fact that they are fake are things that are quantifiable, right? So it's like, oh, you can see some, you know, a bad lighting problem with the shoulder, or you can see like something behind the hair because the hair is so thin that you can
see. Or the scenery just looks flat somehow behind them, and you're like, well, it doesn't look 3D for some reason.
Right. It's like not color graded right or something like that. I feel like AI helps with all, can help with all of that, right? Just like to the point that, yeah, you are going to get to, you know, a case where you can, and a lot of it happens all the time. A lot of it happens right now. Like, there are things that are completely generated by computers that I'd never in a million years even thought that they were, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you watch some of those, you know, how it's made videos on YouTube where they show like the green screen shot as the shot that you see in the movie. And it's just like the amount of stuff that was generated by computer.
That's true. I mean, the amount of stuff and you wouldn't have thought was, you know, CGI. Mm-hmm. And then when they show you, and like literally a foot around the actor is the only thing that's real, you know, like everything else, they're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, AI, speaking of AI, I want to,
yes,
for posterity, for everyone when I die, you know, so I can continue the podcast posthumously, and like, or also if my family want to talk to me or anything, I want to, I have hundreds of hours of my voice recorded.
You do.
I want to clone my voice.
Yeah.
Then I have transcript. I can create transcripts of every single podcast that I have ever
you can.
Gone on. You can. So I have a journal, my personal journal podcast. I can feed that into a large language model.
You could.
And I can pair that with the voice. And then I can go to one of those that'll create video of like my image and do that as well.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are companies that do this. But I mean, I'm saying I think I could do this without paying a company. I can make a virtual me.
Yeah. That does podcasts.
And then anybody could talk to me, you know? So if when I die or whatever, or I could talk to myself. I could just be like, hey, Adam, what you doing? Oh, not much, Adam. You know, how are you? I think I could do that.
There's a character in Neuromancer called Dixie Flatline, and he's a ROM construct. So this is an idea from early cyberpunk, right? Where Dixie Flatline was someone's consciousness uploaded into, you know, the net. And it was, had all the intelligence of the original guy, had all of the memories of the original guy, but it was incapable of experiencing new things. Like, so it's like, it was like that person, but that person stuck at the time of their death, right? Like they knew nothing. Yeah. They experienced nothing. They could learn facts and figures of things after that. But they couldn't, they didn't have a body. They didn't have a physical experience of anything after that. So everything past their death date was just, oh, these are just things I read. Like, these are not things that I experienced. Like,
I wonder if that would freak my parents out if I created a virtual me.
Yeah.
Took my laptop in there and was like, here, talk to this person on Zoom or whatever. It's me.
And it's Christian Adam.
It's me, you know.
And then, I
did install ChatGPT on my stepdad's phone last night.
Oh, Adam, I know. I would love it if you had a version of you that just didn't have the ugly homosexual parts. You know what I'm saying? Can you make one of them? And then it can be like that foreign exchange student that I was, the son that we wish we had. And it was just like, instead, if you could just, make a virtual Adam that's just not homosexual.
Yeah, maybe. Well, you know, you can train stuff out of LLMs. There's apparently a way to deprogram them. So probably.
Have you watched Constellation?
No. How do we watch so many things that are different? I don't even know what that is.
Constellation is on Apple TV. You're going to have to look it up. It's, Zach said, a lot of people said this is really good, but it starts off slowly. And like we were in episode 4 tonight. I think we both fell asleep.
I don't think so. When was it? Oh, did it just get released?
It just finished.
So we have not. It looks similar to something we have watched before, but that was a couple of years ago. So now that only has 71% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that everything on IMDb score has a 7 out of 10? Because now they put the IMDb score next to the Rotten Tomatoes score, but IMDb always seems to kind of stay around that 6-7, you know, out of 10 for everything. I don't find it as useful because,
you know, that was Anti Scott's play that he workshopped. Maybe. 6-7
out of 10.
6-7-8-9 or something like that. All right, so we talked about the curse. We talked about producer Patrick.
It has Jonathan Banks, which is that rugged guy from the assassin,
Travelers? Jonathan?
No. He was in Breaking Bad.
John.
And he looked super old in Breaking Bad, and he's still alive.
Banks?
Yeah, Jonathan Banks.
Oh, yeah, that's Mike Ehrentraut or whatever.
Yeah, Mike.
He's a main character in it.
Oh, he's only 77.
He looks even older in this. Like, he looks like... He really plays into that, like, I look like death warmed over. It's like, there are times in this...
In Breaking Bad, he looked like he was in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he was only in his 50s or something, based on how old he is now.
There you go.
Acting. Life was not kind to his face.
But he's a great actor. And yeah, he's making a decent living. Good for him.
Unlike those people in that audio clip that we heard a little bit earlier, who apparently are not making good living.
That's true. But they don't. But they have no suggestions of what to do.
Nope.
Yeah.
Just
if you're gonna complain, you
start
need
a GoFundMe.
Yeah. Give me a.
I told my therapist this today, and I think it's true. Mm-hmm. If I lost my job,
yeah,
I would go out and get a job immediately somewhere like fast food or something.
Yeah.
Until I found another one. Because I just like, I can't, like, not having money coming in like freaks me out. So I would just go out and find the quickest thing that I could, you know, find.
You could come here and work for Disney.
Be a cast member, you mean?
Sell popcorn.
But I mean, I feel like moving there to work in a minimum wage job
kind
of defeats the purpose.
Here.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's sweet of you.
Live here till you get yourself back.
If I was destitute, you would put me up in that room?
I would, Adam. I would.
Would you? Now, would I have to like do your menial tasks, like put the plugs in the yard and that sort of stuff? Or
no? But I mean, once you started making some money, then you would probably need to pay some rent. But you know, we'll figure that out.
What would people make fun of if I was poor?
I know.
They couldn't call me a one percenter anymore.
Do people really do that, though?
It has been said before by someone.
Yeah.
Either a co-host or a listener.
Probably a listener. Those damn listeners. That's why we hate them. That's why we
Man,
hate
yeah, them. Just, he did leave, so.
Oh, I'm sure he's upset. It's
well,
fun.
Sometimes I can't tell. It's hard in a chat.
Yeah, I know.
To know what people, A, are meaning by what they're saying, and then B, what the emotion is behind that, because you can't, like, whatever. So I'm not even sure that he was saying exactly what you thought he was saying. Like, when he said train wreck, I think he was trying to be funny, because you say train wreck a lot. So I think he was just trying to be funny and not be mean. And then the second thing he said, who cares? He was probably just agreeing that that topic was a silly topic for us to be arguing about.
Especially because we weren't even arguing the same things.
Oh, okay. We don't have to get back into that. It's fine. But anyway, I mean, maybe then. But I see Gary as like when you meet him in person.
Yeah.
He was always so nice, but sometimes some of his comments in the chat room can appear very not nice. And so I don't know if like my brain says, well, we just must be misinterpreting what he's saying because, you know, when you meet him in person, he's such a sweet man. So
I mean, you know, people are human. I'm human.
Or maybe he's gotten more cantankerous as he's gotten older. I don't know.
People
like, I'm
have
not
good
really
days
sure.
And bad days. People, you know? Sometimes people are in moods, whatever. I was clearly in a mood. That's life, right? Hey, you get what you pay
it
for.
Is.
So
do you think Big Fatty's Nippa walks are 8,700 steps?
I don't know what he
4,000
he doesn't
steps?
he's not perpetuating that myth though.
I really like the fact that he stays active.
Yeah, I think why?
Because
think
I feel
right.
like, you know, like my mom
really
she just like I mean, now granted she has back and knee problems, but still she just like lays in bed all day long most of the time. And I'm like, that is not good for you. I mean, that is one way to die faster. And you know, but Big Fatty, he's like doing jazzercise now and he's, you know, he's like walking.
So, yeah, he does. No, senior size, isn't it? Senior size. To go somewhere quickly or be somewhere for a short time, can you nip out around down to the shop for me? Nip. Nip.
He says nipper.
That's because he's Southern. Nippa. It's nippa. It's just nippa.
I don't know. I don't know what it is. But anyway, a nippa walk.
You know, Fatty was talking.
Ran out of
Hoppenhoff. Shit. Stop. Stop it. Fatty was talking about how much do we love the other day. Do you remember there was a podcast with Rob Nelson, Lindley Magoo, and Miss Sarah?
I don't know that person, but I've heard that podcast name before. But yeah,
They're an
I
old,
don't know a
old,
Rob Nelson, Lindley yeah, Magoo, but
old,
I've heard the
name. Old podcast and everything.
Yes.
Well, apparently,
they
discovered TikTok. Oh my God, stop it. Stop it. You're so loud. They discovered TikTok. And so they decided, we can just do our podcast on TikTok. So they have like this. Like,
hey, everybody, this is Rob.
And this is Sarah.
And this is How Much Do We Love? It's a place where we talk about how much we love things.
Exactly. Pringles.
Or cardigans.
Or Fresca.
Oh, I love Fresca.
or like old people dancing at weddings. But come join us.
What if you had a matching blanket with your friend?
Wait a minute. I have that blanket too. I forgot you had that there.
It's such a good blanket.
It's the best. It's from Costco. You might see a lot of topics about Costco. All right. Well, follow us. Please spread the word too. We'd love to get rolling over here.
Yeah, we're back.
So wait, doing whole podcast episodes? Oh, aren't you limited in the amount of time that a TikTok can be?
Yeah, I mean, they're not doing whole thing. Like, here's an example. That was like their intro, right?
Yeah.
So like, here's an example of something there. They've just broken it down into like, how much do we love some random thing? Like, so it's like, this is a typical one. Wait, why is it quiet?
We should do a TikTok where we just tell a different listener to fuck off in each one.
Oh, wait.
It could be a
second. Because of the music ban, that one isn't. He has music in it that has been. Here's one.
Back in the old days of How Much Do We Love, Robbie and I talked about the Narnia pantry, which is when like you're digging in your pantry to get something and you find something in the back that you didn't even know was there, just like in the back of the wardrobe. And it's always a fun surprise. Well, today, I went out to my trunk to get something out of my car, and I found something that I forgot that I bought a week ago at Costco and didn't bring in because my hands were full. Narnia pretzels! Back in the old days of How Much Do We Love?
That's kind of like...
Maybe I should, you know, maybe I should just start doing TikToks of myself when I'm walking.
You should.
Oh my God, look, some more dog poop, you know? Just be a grumpy old man walking on TikTok.
I didn't say this during the show because I forgot, but when you were talking about the dogs on your walk, imagine running, because I run through the neighborhood. So when I'm running and I hear a dog barking, because I have headphones and, you know, earbuds and everything, I'm like going, wait, is that dog chasing me? And like, am I about to like get bitten by a dog because I'm running past them or whatever? It's like... So it's not just a matter of
people
like,
need to leash their animals and not. We have people who let their dogs just roam.
Yeah.
There must be a leash law. But again,
you know what? People are like, oh, my dog's so friendly. My dog would never hurt anyone. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Your dog wouldn't hurt anyone intentionally. But, you know, if I'm running down the street, your dog starts chasing because he thinks it's a game and he jumps up on my back and knocks me over. It's like, you know, I am an elderly man. I might break a hip. break a hip.
We should
TikTok that. Wait, let's TikTok
keep
that.
Your
let's
dog,
let's,
keep
let's
your
do it.
Dog,
if so. I'm walking, if I'm running and a dog chases me, I might break a hip. There. Yeah, it's exactly. TikTok. Auntie Scott wants to know, what is TikTok? Do we want to talk to Auntie Scott? Can we talk to Auntie Scott? Auntie Scott, are you at a place where we can talk to you? Hold please.
No, he's not somewhere. He's sitting on the couch watching Charlie Chan.
Very important. Very.
Do you have like an earbud in, and Charlie Chan in one ear, us in the other, or like he might be cooking.
Talk to him in the kitchen when we're there. He gets very,
withdrew earbuds watching TV.
He's withdrawn?
I feel so special that you have earbuds in listening to us while...
He's withdrawn?
Withdrew. Did I say withdrawn?
No. I'm just saying it sounded like you said the word withdrew.
Withdrew.
Like he withdrew. Like I was like, oh.
He's withdrew.
He's withdrawn?
He's with Drew. He's with Uncle Drew. My aunt said to me, so my aunt was at my mom's last night, yeah. and she's my ghost shows, like the ones where they're like investigating, like on A&E or whatever, that the Learning Channel or whatever, where they're like going in and like they have the radio.
Robbie and I talked.
So, anyway, what was I saying?
I don't know.
No. I was saying something and I then, oh gosh, I want to complete that thought. What was I talking about? Oh yeah, my aunt. Thank you. So my aunt, says to me, your uncle has been working out and everything. Apparently he just retired recently. And she's like, and he is looking so good. I can't wait for you guys to see him. He is just looking whatever. And that's the uncle.
The creepy uncle?
Yeah, the uncle. And I'm like, oh, if you only knew. I mean, maybe she does know. Maybe she's like,
well, why would she want you to see him?
She's 80. I mean, maybe she's like, you know, maybe at this point she's just like, yeah, if he can, any dick he can get, well, you know, I'm out of my sex years, you know, or whatever. I don't know. I mean, but why would she be like, oh, I can't wait for you and Mark to see your uncle. He's looking hot. You know, it was basically what she was saying.
How old is your uncle now? 70?
He must be 65.
60.
He's quite a bit younger than my aunt. When they, it was a scandal in the family because she, first of all, she had an affair with him. He was like her accompanist in something because she was she was like a music, and he was like way young. He was like a college student or something, and she was in her 40s or something. And so, and they were having an affair. She was still married to my other uncle at the time.
Scandal.
So it was like a scandal. But, you know, then she divorced that uncle and married my creepy uncle, and then who I always thought was gay, and now has since asked if he could kiss me. So pretty sure he's at least bi.
It was a momentary lapse. It'll never happen again. Have you seen this documentary, this Quiet on the Set documentary?
No.
Okay, good. I haven't either.
I feel like you should, like, when you want to ask me about something, you should just say, hey, watch this thing.
No, you...
There seem to be so many different television and things, because I'm constantly watching TV.
Okay. But Quiet on the Set is on Max. I don't have a Max subscription at the moment. Do you have a Max subscription at the moment?
Yeah, I do.
So it's on Max. It's about, the ex-child star's allegations against
the
producer. Yeah, it's very scandalous. There's been
much
drama about this over the last several days. But anyway, yeah, this Quiet on the Set documentary thing. You have to watch.
And we're kind of out of stuff to watch because it's taking so long for the shows to come back because of the strike.
And so I'm currently rewatching some old Discovery seasons because Discovery is coming back in a couple of weeks.
And so
I wanted to get caught up and refresh my memory in my old age. I like to rewatch seasons, you know, to kind of refresh the story. But what was I going to say? Fuck.
You've been rewatching it.
Yeah, I've been rewatching Discovery.
I have no idea about Ozark, but it is so good. It is so good. I can't spoil anything. It's been so long. Yeah, I don't even remember.
Jason Bateman. How he didn't win every single television award,
it's
whatever.
Very good.
He's
I mean, they're all good though.
I mean, yeah, Laura Linney always, like, she is always concerned about, like, name me a Laura Linney role where she's not walking around being concerned. I mean, that's Laura Linney's trademark. But yeah, the kids in that movie were really good. And it's like, it's so well acted. It's so well done. And Ozark is just like so constantly just like, whiplash, just the way it
edge of your whips, seat, yeah. Like every episode,
and everything's a turn, and everything, you never know what's coming, but it's so amazing. But I will say this, Ozark does that one crime thing where they're supposed to be in the Lake of the Ozarks, and Laura Linney will come out like, I'm going into Chicago today to blah 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 blah, and then two hour later she's back. I'm like, you do realize that from the Lake of the Ozarks to Chicago is like eight hours
or so. Something. It's not,
they'll just pop into Chicago.
No, you don't. It's not. Maybe they flew and we just didn't know. You know, they were making. Yeah. Anyway, very except good.
They had the same car.
It's a very good. It's a very good show.
Yes,
I really highly recommend.
It's got great villains. It's great story. It's got great acting. Yeah, absolutely.
I do have a lot of stuff back though, because as you know, I'm a procedural watcher, and all of my FBIs, NCIS came back.
Yeah.
So I should start catching up on those, but
we have Survivor and Amazing Race. And we're watching Constellation right now, but we're waiting for Whatchamajigger to start Discovery.
That
or else
that there is a guy on Amazing Race who annoys me. I know Kel Surprise, right? I mean, no one ever annoys me.
There are 20 something contestants on that show right now, majority of them men. So what? Which one?
He's the one who went on the show with his mom.
Yes. All right. So the gay son.
Yeah. He just gets on my. He is such a titty mama boy. Like, I just. Like, oh, my mom and I, blah, 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 blah.
Yes, but
like,
didn't we learn that his mom. So annoying. But didn't he have, like, he was allergic to everything and like they,
I mean, he probably still lives with her. Like, I mean, it just seems like, okay, come on. Look, like you're an adult at this point. Cut the apron strings a little bit.
I would have run the Amazing Race with my mom when she was alive. I would have done.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you wouldn't have acted like that. I mean, I don't know, just the way he acts.
My mom would not have overheated like that because she's a Southerner. And I know, she's right? Just like, I mean, it's like, come on. She had to lay human.
Down. All he was doing is painting her face and she had to lay down.
Northerners. It was like, oh, it's so hot. It's so uncomfortably hot.
And those twins who aren't really identical. They're probably not even brothers. They're only actors. They don't even look. They look so different from here's each other.
On The Amazing Race, they had the choice of two tasks. One of them was to carry balloons along this very narrow path, like these big bunches of balloons. Easy, but it was a long way. And the other thing that they could do was this puzzle, which was basically like, here's a courtyard filled with flags, and these strands of flags are in a particular order, and you need to find a strand that is not in the correct order and take it down and put this one in its place.
Yeah. That one looked like it would be challenging because there were so many.
Said, and they were doing it. They were just dancing all around the solution because I immediately told Zach, I'm like, we would do the flags because we can go every fourth color and make sure that there's two. And literally all we have to do is just find one wrong thing. And that's the strand. It's like, so if your only task is to look at all the green flags and make sure there's a red on the left and a blue on the right, it's like, just make sure that the green flags have a red and blue next to them. It's like, if they don't, that's wrong. And so like, that's all you have to do is just like go down the row, look at all the green flags. And then we move down the flag, right? It's like, all right, now let's go down several more colors. And it's like, so you could do that in about 5 or 6 sweeps max of the field and be done.
You're
really
like
fast.
You're like creating a bubble sort algorithm for like how you would like go through.
Exactly. Because I'm like, well, this there's a method to this. It's a puzzle. And this, we could finish that really quickly. But these people aren't getting the puzzle because they would go there like, what are we supposed to see that's different about them? And I'm like, literally the challenge is called color match or something like that. It's like the your color match is in the title of the challenge that you're doing. It's
did
like,
you notice they have changed? They took my advice.
What did they do?
Well, because in previous seasons when he said there are no elimination legs, and then an episode would end and he would say, you did arrive last. However,
we're still racing.
We're still racing. And I'm like, oh, that's bullshit. Like, they're just trying to say there are no non-elimination legs, but, and they just want to, they're rephrasing that. But now, this season, at least so far, there have not been any, and we are continue racing.
So,
there was, but they still got eliminated.
Yeah, they still got eliminated. Yeah. So they changed it. Here's my question to you. You do know about this season of The Amazing Race, like when it was filmed, right?
No, was it filmed earlier or something?
This was season 45 of The Amazing Race, but when CBS said, we want to, because of the writer's strike, we want to do 90-minute episodes of The Amazing Race, The Amazing Race had another season in production, and they're like, oh, it's easier for us to just film these as 90-minute episodes and then give you that. So what was season 45, which was filmed during COVID, so they chartered their plane. You'll notice that there won't be any shots this season about people like getting new flight tickets or whatever, because everyone, they chartered the plane during COVID. So it's like they all flew on the same plane. So that's this. So this season of The Amazing Race that we're watching is 2 years old. It's like that it was filmed over 2 years ago.
No, I did not know that. So that means the one that we watched before.
Yes.
Was more recent.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I guess they didn't take my advice, but I don't like it when they're like, oh, there are no non-elimination legs. And then they're like, oh, this is not really the end. You're still racing. Like that's a BS. Although I don't mind them having non-elimination legs. I'm okay with that.
I just
want you to say it and mean what you say, and don't try to.
Although
pull
I always feel like the way they edit it, the non-elimination legs always end up helping the team that's in trouble, with whatever. But I mean, that's just an editing thing. That's nothing. I'm scared to ask you if you've seen anything else because apparently we don't watch any.
Nothing. We're watching. We're almost finished. I don't know the name of it. It's okay. Look, I'm okay with a lot of stuff. So it's not like everything we watch is stellar, but it's something on Peacock, which you won't be watching because you don't have Peacock.
Yeah, because Zach has a personal war with Peacock.
It's called Apple Never Falls.
Oh, what's it about?
And it's got Annette.
Bonicello?
Annette. She was in like The President's Wife or something.
Benning.
Yeah, her and then some other people. Her husband in this, I recognize him, but I don't know his name. Let's see. He's Sam Neill.
No, you're not invisible.
Benning, I see you, Auntie Scott. I was talking to you about Ozark for like 5 minutes.
Benning?
Benning. I said Benning. And it's like a she and her husband are like an older kind of, they just retired and they have these adult children who are all kind of various levels of fucked up.
Okay. I'm very bored. And what's the hook?
And they're, well, so first of all, they have a strange girl that shows up on their doorstep and she ends up living with them and they don't know anything about her. And then also Annette Bening goes missing.
Oh.
And the whole season is trying to figure out, was she killed? Did she like run off or, you know, whatever? Was she, did the dad kill her? Is he a murderer? Did the strange girl who showed up on their doorstep kill her and like drag her body away?
I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to get Peacock for that. Well, you're not saying on Peacock.
I'm not saying it's enjoyable. I like Annette Bening.
I'm looking forward to new season of Foundation.
We did catch up with Foundation and are enjoying it now.
Oh.
So, more so. We kind of binged instead of doing it week to week, and we
The first season of Foundation. The first season of Foundation is so much table setting and so much and it really pays off in the second season. It's like, so, you know, in the second season, when these weird things are happening, you're like, oh yeah, that was what that whole thing was about in the first season. It's like, okay, I get this. I understand, you know, what this is. But yeah, the second season was great. So what are we waiting for? A third season?
Yeah, I think it's season 3. We do need to go back and try again on
The Expanse.
For All Mankind.
Oh, that's why we have Apple TV Plus right now, because I wanted to watch the fourth season of For All Mankind. Such a great show. Such a great show.
We fell off of it, and I feel like it's one of those that maybe I just needed to get more into it, further into it to really.
So you watched the first one, the first season?
I think so. It was a long time ago at this point, 3 or 4 years ago, but.
I mean, you have to really buy into the thing. You have to buy into the premise. The premise is that this is an alternate history. So a lot of the same people are involved, but in different roles.
I'm not even sure that we got to a point where like there was anything that diverged.
Oh, no, no. Starting from the beginning, you know, Russia landed on the moon. That's why we were funding the space. You know, that's why in this universe, they continued to fund the space program and accelerate things, because Russia beat them in the space race. So instead of, you know, America being first to the moon and everything, John Glenn, who was in the movie, you know, he was a character in the show, but he was not the first man on the moon. In fact, he never even made it to the moon. It's like, because then they started, having to compete with the Russians in different ways and stuff. But yeah,
Watched a show. Yeah. Anyway, I think we need to go back to that, because it probably is good, and maybe we just didn't get into it enough.
Very good. Neil Armstrong was the first man on the moon.
I think you said Alan.
Alan Shepard was the first man in space. Oh, John Glenn.
Oh, you said John Glenn.
Yeah, I don't even know what you said. John Glenn was a senator, and he was the guy that went into space twice. Once when he was in his 70s, and once when he was.
We watched a show about Godzilla on
Godzilla.
On.
That was very Charlie Chan.
One of the streaming services. I don't even know why we watched the whole thing. It was not very good. It got good reviews. It really did get good reviews, but I don't think it was that great of a show. See,
that's the thing about like this curse. I watched this curse and I watched one episode of it and I'm like, this is crap. But I'm like, but everyone said it was great. And maybe it's a slow burn or whatever. And so then I watched the next episode and then I watched the next episode. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, and then at some point you're like, look, this is just not for me. This show, I'm just not getting it. So I'm just, I gotta bail. And I feel Monarch. Like Handmaid's. Yeah, we haven't watched Handmaid's Tale because we don't want to be depressed. What, Monarch?
Oh, you didn't like. So I think Handmaid's Tale is really good.
I haven't seen
it. But it is so. At least, I don't know, the later seasons haven't been as good, but I think the first couple of seasons like were really good. But man, it is so like something that could totally happen in the US. So it's like, oh, this is kind of too close to.
Monarch Legacy of the Monsters. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
That's got, what's his name in it? It's got both
him and his son.
Yeah,
and I can't think of his name.
Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. It says got he and his son and.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was fine, I suppose, but there was nothing like special about it. It was just a Godzilla.
It looks like it had no lack of budget.
There are so many Godzilla movies right now.
Yeah.
TV show, every 3 or 4 years, it seems like there's a wave of Godzilla.
Yeah, or vampires, yeah. Or there's just like things that.
We don't have enough Godzilla movies yet. Let's make another one. I think there's another movie coming out soon also.
I feel like, wasn't there like a time where we had like Westerns, like spaghetti Westerns, like there was just Western, and it's like Western. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't we go through these cycles where.
I mean, maybe. I just remember my whole life, there's always been Godzilla movies coming out like every few years or whatever. Yeah, it seems. Yeah.
No, I'm saying some things persist. Shows. Like I'll break
King
it down.
Kong.
Okay, I'll break it down to like Disney. So some things will always kind of exist, like Adventureland.
I'm surprised that you're doing a Disney analogy.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Adventureland is always going to, you know, there's always going to be adventure. There's always going to be, you know, some kind of Indiana Jones or like some story told about people that are exploring or finding things or whatever. So Adventureland is kind of like a thing. You know, it's an evergreen, right? Main Street USA. It's a moment in time. Like it's a moment back in the turn of the century in America, you know, small town, downtown kind of an area, Main Street USA, that is locked in history. That is, you know, an evergreen kind of a place. Tomorrowland, right? Looking for tomorrow, looking for the future. Like that's always going to be something no matter where we are. We're always going to be looking toward tomorrow, looking for the future. So for, you know, Tomorrowland, definitely evergreen, whatever.
You think update Tomorrowland with like AI and
yeah,
like,
of course they will eventually. Like but then you take a look at Frontierland and it's like, well, wait, what is Frontierland? It's like this brings to mind like Westerns and Davy Crockett and stuff, but we don't like frontiersmen and stuff. That's not things that we even pay attention to anymore. It's like Renaissance stuff. Like it's just so old and so foreign to us. That, you know,
I mean, not in the same way, but Yellowstone was like, is super popular and it's basically a Western. Mark and I watched it. We watched Yellowstone 1882, 1893, whatever we watched. Yeah. We have not watched The Legend of Bass Reeves yet.
I'm surprised that you watched Legacy of Monsters.
Well, it seemed like, you know, it's sci-fi. You know, it seemed like, and I've enjoyed Godzilla stuff before. Oh, yeah, there is a movie where they're like, I feel like the trailer is like, there's this new land that's very green and they're like Godzilla-y monsters that live in this. I think it's under the underground or something.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Like new Godzilla movie.
I've got a place.
Oh, it is. It's Godzilla times Kong, the new empire. It may be out right now. It's showing me maybe March 28th because it's saying I can go see it on March 28th.
Hey, Adam.
Yep.
They're hiring trumpet players for Disneyland.
Oh. Out in California.
Yeah. They're also, this could say trumpet. It's written in Chinese, but Shanghai Disney is hiring some form of musician.
Well, I think when I get to be retirement age, it would be fun to get a job as a trumpet player on a cruise ship.
Oh.
They may not hire retirement age people because I feel like that's a young person job. They probably have a tendency to hire younger folks.
Actually, they're not allowed to ask age when they hire people.
They can see your age when you come up.
I'm just saying that, but if they can show age discrimination, that age is a protected class from employment.
I just feel like all the musicians I've seen on cruise ships, like especially those bands, have tended to be like high school, like college age for the most part, but maybe not.
Ooh, I want to be a parade performer. They have auditions for parade performers. Let's see. Online submission for a parade performer. Ooh, what do I have to do?
Is there any doubt that at some point, even while Daniel is still working his current job on weekends, he's going to like be a tram driver or something? I mean,
they want from the Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade and Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade. They want a male presenting performers, 5'1 to 6'2. I'm 6 foot, so I'm in there. All races and ethnicities to bring to life Disney characters and all dancing roles. Performers should have training and experience in dance and performance.
I don't think you have that. Dance training. Oh,
man. I wanted to be in the Mickey's Boo-to-You Halloween Parade.
I think Mike Lawson was a Disney character at Disneyland for a while. Shit.
I just lost the website. DisneyAuditions.com.
I feel like he played a character.
That could be.
Or was several different characters. I feel like I've heard
parade
that.
Parade performers. All right. So let's see. Disneyland Paris. Oh, stilt walkers. I could be a stilt walker in a parade in Anaheim. Disneyland Paris. Anaheim, Paris.
You could be a stilt walker.
Yeah.
I would assume that you have to be able to walk on stilts, yeah, which again, yeah, is a skill that I'm not sure.
I can learn that pretty quickly. That's fine.
I'm not sure that you have.
Let's see. Disneyland Paris. Damn it. My dreams are dashed, Adam. I'm not going to be able to be in the Mickey's Boo to You parade because I don't have formal dance training. Maybe I can take some dance classes. Maybe I should take some dance classes between now and then.
Well, you've started other new things in the no, that was that trailer, Auntie Scott. I don't know how loud it was because I was trying to play it really quiet.
I thought it was my PC. I thought I was on the website when I was looking at it. I was like, why is there a dog? Is that an ad or something? Anyway.
No, it's
King Kong.
Well, the new empire.
I need to go because I have to go to the old house tomorrow to do yard work.
I know, to do. Ugh, that doesn't sound fun.
Yeah. And
I actually need to mow this weekend.
They're having like a spring fling here in our new neighborhood. Like they're bringing in food trucks and stuff tomorrow, and they've given us all tickets. Given us free tickets for the food trucks tomorrow.
You have to meet your neighbors.
So it's like we need to, that's running from 3 to 7. So we have to be over there an hour away to do yard work and then be back here before 7 so that we can eat at the food trucks.
There are no food trucks anywhere else.
But we have free tickets to the food trucks, Adam. Yeah. I can't turn down free. That
would be too much neighbor meeting for me. I feel like I would avoid it and just
Why don't you want to know your neighbors?
Well, we like our next door neighbors right next to us because they're liberal and gay loving. But all the other neighbors, I think they're all pretty much homophobes, yeah. And you know, but our and Amanda, who is probably we really just talk to Amanda most of the time because her husband's kind of introverted.
Are they ones that watch Sydney?
Yeah, she watched Sydney for us. So we do like one pair of neighbors, and they are the ones that are right next door to us. So,
yeah, I need to go to my neighbors and ask what their plans are for their yards. We have this weird thing where there's a 5-foot easement at the edge of our properties. So, like,
sure,
if they put a fence, they have to leave 5 feet before the edge of their property. So if we put a fence, there would be 10 feet between the fences. Like we can't do fences, you know, like.
Oh, there's you have an easement between houses.
Yes.
We have easement behind all of our houses.
No, all the way around. Completely all the way around our house. There's a 5-foot easement all the way around our house. So anyway, but you can plant plants in those easements. So like there's bamboo that's running along the back fence, but I don't know if it was the previous owners here that planted it or whether it was the house behind us that wanted them planted. And so I kind of want to go because there's a bare spot in it. And it's like, so I want to kind of fill in the bare spot, but I don't want to do so if the previous homeowners here were the ones that were planted. You know what I'm saying? I just want to check with the neighbors. Yes. Like, hey, are you... Like, that's on your easement.
So are you going to find that neighbor during the food truck
maybe, thing? Maybe.
Okay.
I mean, well, have fun with I'll that. Tell you the one thing. It's like, because our we don't have a fence and our windows are open usually, like the blinds are open usually, and we're looking out. And there's a lot of people that walk around in our neighborhood. Like, it's a very walky neighborhood. Like, there's a people are out walking like all hours of the day with their
all
dogs.
My neighbors walk. Yeah. They're all outside all the time. Yeah, and don't put their dogs on leashes.
And yet, when I go for my run, they're not out walking. They walk early in the morning. I was like, I can't do that.
All
shit.
Times of the day.
So, anyway, Adam, say goodnight to the chat room. And by night. Chat room, basically, that's Auntie Scott and Street Rat. But good night, chat room. And
good night.
And Adam,